I'll be reading Romans chapter 1:16-17. But I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
I think Q Ray is going to be a preacher one of these days. I'm hesitating on purpose here. I have a pretty heavy heart this morning. I don't know if I've ever found it so difficult to get up and preach as it is for me today. I'm taking a college classes, finishing my first class, and when I finish my second class, I'll get my degree, and great will be my joy, and it will make no difference, but anyway, I'll have that. So my last assignment is a wonderful assignment. It calls me to journal every day for 30 days. So I have to get on the computer and I have to log on to 8 different topics. And I have to write down what I'm thinking about those topics. One of them is I say a prayer, but I have to type it. That's not very cool. I don't like that. And then look through my goals, adjust my goals. And then I have like 8 topics along that nature. One of those is to meditate. Yesterday morning, I don't know why that I wrote this, but I decided to write what it's like, what I should remember about a person who's in the hospital, kind of things that they might go through, because I've had several people in the hospital this week. Marguerite Newsom, I don't know if we mentioned her, she was in the hospital, then out of the hospital. Gene Kelly, and some others as well. So I decided to remind myself, not what it was necessarily about to go visit them, but to try to think about what it was like for them to be in the hospital. So I wrote down that, and one of the things that I wrote, you know, it can kind of be scary to be in the hospital. If you're not certain of everything that's going on with you, you know, you can be afraid about that. You can be uncertain about what the future will hold, whether you'll ever get to cast off your leg or you apply it to your situation if you've been in the hospital. So I spent a good deal of time trying to remind myself of how the person feels that I'm going to visit. And I found that to be a healthy exercise for me. Am I doing that? So last night, the telephone rang. No, the telephone didn't ring. I'm getting this backwards. My phone was out again, and Brother Russ came and knocked on the door, rang the doorbell. Sharon Burke was in the hospital, he said. They'd been trying to call me and couldn't get through on the phone. Well, I went to the hospital last night about 10 o'clock at Covenant, room number 320. You'll want to remember that, okay? When I got there, Sister Sharon was laying there, and she was very, very upset. Seems as though they had thought that she had cancer. in her abdomen that had spread quite a bit. And she was really heartbroken. And those of you that know me know that I've lost my dad and my grandfather to cancer in the last year or so. And I'm pretty tender about that subject. And as I thought about that, I also thought about the many different folks here that I've known and loved through the years who have died or been really sick. And you know, I gotta tell you, that's really hard on my heart, as it is yours from time to time. So I began to think about how I deal with those type of things. Well, my lesson for this morning is right here, and this is not what I'm going to be talking to you about. Because this morning, during class, Brother Ron called, and he said this. Doctor said she has cancer. She will be going through some tests to find out what kind. She's in room 320 at Covenant. She can have visitors. I'm not going to make the sermon this morning about any particular person or anything like that, but I'm going to say that this has moved my heart in the direction that I'd like to talk to you about the seriousness of life and the way that we believe and the thoughts that we have concerning God, because it affects us. Every person in here will get sick at some point in your life. And every person in here will die at some time, unless the Lord happens to come. Now here's the difficult thing. It's not easy. After all, didn't Jesus in John chapter 11, the death of Lazarus, even though he knew to what end that would serve, didn't Jesus weep about it? Wasn't his heart, when he saw the sister of Lazarus, didn't he, at her hurting, didn't the Lord himself weep? You know, I think it's not bad that we're moved to sadness at when we get each other, we get sick. When I left the hospital last night, I looked at Ron and Sharon and I said, I love you. You know, they're part of my family. You're part of my family. Isn't it great to have that? Now, I'm not going to say that Sister Sharon is going to die, because I'm going to pray toward the other end. But I want to talk about what it means to have faith in God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 is a verse that means so much to me and so much to many of us. Be ye faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of righteousness. God tells us to be faithful and not to give up on that. Now, faith is the Greek word pistos, and it means to have firm persuasion or conviction. Will things along this road test that faith? I think so. To say that I'm a Christian and my faith is never tested, I would be lying to you. And I don't want to do that. But as these tests come along, God calls us, Colossians chapter 3, to set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not to set our minds on earthly things. And you know, what a challenge for us. I remember when Sister Vivian McCracken died, and I was asked to do the funeral. I couldn't hardly get through the funeral because my heart was moved to such sadness. But you know what? God helped me to stay focused on Him. And during hard times that come along, we've got to stay focused on the Lord. We've got to have some belief that looks to Him and trust in Him no matter what. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's comfort in those words. There's comfort that helps us to hang on even when our hearts are burdened and wearisome. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we are to live by faith and not by sight. It's easy for us to look around and see the things that's going on around us and think that that's the sum of all that's going on. Oh, but there's a heavenly realm. There's a spiritual realm. I think about Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. The city is surrounded. The servant's all worried about it. And Elisha says, God, would you open the eyes of my servants? And when he did, the servant looked around and saw the hills filled with chariots of fire. There's a great company of God's host that surrounds us, church. God is here with us. And we've got to know that. Faith is more than just believing. Faith is a conviction, a persuasion that runs. Faith without works is dead, James says. Faith without some action is just an idea. It's not a deep-seated belief. So with that in mind, I want to bring up a few examples of faith. And Brother Dave did so this morning, talking about Acts chapter 22, when you talk about Abraham and Isaac and going up to Mount Moriah. And you know, he mentioned the idea of faith there. And what faith that took for Abraham to be willing to bring that knife up and actually launch it into his son. He was ready to do that. But his belief was so much in God that his view of death, he viewed death through a spiritual eyes. He viewed any type of sickness through spiritual eyes because he had spiritual eyes. You know what? Sometimes I need to close my eyes so I can see. Are you with me? I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Jewish names for Brother Travis is good at saying.
Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael.
Yeah, I've never committed those to memory, but he has. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were carried off into Babylonian captivity, right? And they were instructed to do things that God didn't want to happen, right? And what did they do? They said, you know, we're not going to do those things. We recognize God as all-powerful. And for that, they were thrown into a furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than normal. Even killed the guys throwing them in the furnace. They looked at things through spiritual eyes. And you know what? I need to do that too. As a result of that, God was praised. What about Daniel in the lion's den? Was Daniel going to change his habits of prayer for someone else? Now, I don't know how many of you have been to the zoo. Do they have a zoo anywhere around here?
Des Moines.
Des Moines, okay. Penguins today, right? Lions roar and terrify me from halfway across the zoo. Daniel didn't mind. Why? Because he recognized that this world was more than the physical. More than sickness, more than poverty, more than health, more than any of that. We are eternal. Did you know that? We will live forever. I think about Job. Wow. What a deal there Job went through. All of this loss. I mean, his family, his health. I mean, he lost it all. But he wouldn't give up on God. Why? Because he had eyes that were spiritually focused upon God. What about John the Baptist? You know, John the Baptist got into a jam there with Herod, the brother of Herod, right? And he ended up losing his head because of it. Seems to me that he had his focus on spiritual things. And you know, I think about myself and I wonder how many times I lose my focus. I get concerned about the price of gas. I get concerned about my 401k. And I hadn't got over that one yet. I lose my focus on what's really important and what's not. Think about the Christians in the first century, persecuted to death under the hand of Nero and Domitian, bound and lit as torches for their gardens. I think about the absurdity of it all, but I know the one thing, faith led the way. I think about Elijah and Mount Carmel. Boy, wasn't that something. Faith led the way for Elijah. I think about God's own son. Standing there in the Garden of Gethsemane and being betrayed by someone that he loved deeply. Yet not willing to give up on God's plan and his purpose. I see Jesus on the cross of Calvary enduring great pain, and I see him focused upon the Father. So I call my own self to stop and think about where my focus is going to be. Where am I going to let the burdens of life get me down? I got to tell you, my heart concerning Sister Sharon this morning is grieving tremendously, almost to the point I have trouble talking. Am I going to set my mind on that? I got to tell you, I'm a little bit whiny this morning. I'm sitting here wondering how many funerals I've done. I'm sitting here wondering how many people I visited in the hospital that were sick and dying, and I feel a little bit of pity party going on in my heart because it's hard. But you know what? It's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be there for each other. You know what? I'm standing here right now and I'm realizing that it won't be long till some of you that's a little bit older that I'll be there on your behalf with your family. And it grieves my heart, but let me tell you this. I'm convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen.
I'm convinced that if you walk in the light as He is in the light, that your fellowship with God will continue. I'm convinced of the words of God when He says, "Be ye faithful unto death and you will receive a crown of life." I'm convinced that death is not the end, but death is the beginning. And as I look out through this auditorium this morning, I see people in my mind's eye that ought to be here that have passed on. Someday it'll be me. Maybe you'll see my chair empty. But we'll praise God together for a battle and a victory won. Now, Sister Sharon needs some visitors. And I just ask you, as a loving family to fill that Covenant Hospital today till it's overflowing. Room 320. Because I can tell you this, we have one of our family scared to death right now as we're speaking. Heartbroken, scared, and she needs us. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that the righteous will live by faith. That's the way we live, right? Now, I prayed with Sister Sharon last night that God would heal that cancer. Take care of it. And that's what I'm going to believe. But I'm going to place that in the hands of the Father, recognizing that nothing is impossible with our God. Church, doesn't it ring true that our God is a God of impossibilities? God likes for things to get a little bit tough and look a whole lot bleak before He wants to step in and do something about it. Why? Because He wants to show us of little faith how great and mighty His hand is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And I want to please God. And I want my faith to be that of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. A faith of victory that overcomes the world. I'd like to have the elders come up right now. And I'd like both that are here to say a prayer on Sister Sharon's behalf before we close with an invitation.
Let's pray together. Father, we come before You and we just humble our hearts before You, Father. We do want to recognize that You are Creator of all things, including ourselves, Father. And You've created a fleshly body that is perishable, that we occupy for a short period of time. And we understand that, Father, that this life is fleeting and is like a vapor. Father, our prayers that You be with Sharon in the hospital. Give her some comfort. Give her peace. Rest Your spirit on her, Father. Let her be aware of Your spirit and that You're there for her. Father, it's our prayer that the test that she is about to undergo determines that the cancer that she has is not a terminal cancer, but one that can be operated on, Father. We know that there is power in prayer, Father, and it's our prayer that she recovers from this, Father, and that she continues to be a part of this family for many years to come. It's also my prayer, Father, that You be with Ron. Give him some peace. We know that he is going through some struggles and concern for his wife. And we just only have to think of our own spouses, our own children, and understand the love that we have for them and the love that Ron has for Sharon. And I just ask that You give him some comfort and some peace. As I pray these things in Jesus' Your name, amen. Thank you.
7. We continue in prayer for our living sister. It is our prayer, Father, that you will be at her side. That she'll have the kind of faith that will help her get through this particular problem that she faces now. We know, Father, from experience, as we look into the world and other loved ones who have found themselves in the same condition that she is in, or a similar condition, a word that we just really don't want to say because of the impact that it has on so many lives. But cancer, Father, we understand is a part of our being here on this earth. A disease, Father, that frightens us. A disease that causes us to grow weak. But I pray that Sharon's faith will not dissipate with this situation, but that it'll grow as she puts her trust in you, Father, and in your Son. I pray, Father, for Ron. And I believe that I know how much Ron loves his wife, Sharon. So I know that there is a great load upon his shoulders and upon his mind at this time. And I pray, Father, the faith that he has in you will help him to get through this time of problems, troubles in his life. I pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us in our own way to help lift the spirits of these two people up to you, where I know that you will bless them. We are thankful, Father, that we have the opportunity, being children of yours, to approach your throne of grace and to request from you that your will be done and our faith strong enough that it will. Thank you, Father, for all of our brothers and sisters. All of us are affected in one way or another by our own situations in life. And I pray that we'll lift that up to our Father in prayer, trusting that he will give to us the strength we need to overcome. May we give to Sharon and Ron and their children a boost in their strength, that they might be able to carry on through this situation in their lives, and that you will allow them, allow our physicians,
to treat her, to remove or to radiate or whatever, Father, to take care of that cancer. Thank you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters here. Help us to have a belief and faith in you at all times. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we come to you this morning. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Think about the reasons for our faith. My heart sings with joy as I consider the fact that our God is a sovereign God. Sovereign means that He's all powerful, He's above all, He doesn't answer to anyone, He has all overwhelming power. That's the type of God that we have faith in. That's our God, and I can't help but think of Isaiah chapter 40. And by way of invitation, as I discuss a couple of these points, I'd like for you to consider your faith. If you were found to have cancer today, would your faith be where you want it to be? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, "Who has measured the waters of the world in His hands?" Talking about God. Can you imagine a hand big enough to hold the oceans of this earth? That's the picture that Isaiah creates. Verse 13, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or His counselor has informed Him?" Who informs God of anything? Nobody, because God is all-knowing and all-powerful. Verse 15, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and regard as a speck of dust on the scales." When God looks at us, we're mighty small. But that's not the point. The point is how big God is. God is great. "To whom then will you liken God?" Verse 18. What likeness will you compare with Him? He goes on to say, will you cast an idol and worship that? Will you take faith in idols? You know, sometimes we put a whole lot of stock in stock markets and a whole lot of stock and things that we can see with our eyes, and God says, oh no. Trust in what you don't see. Trust in Me. Verse 21, He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sets above the circle of the earth." Our God sets above the canopies of the heavens, church. And He watches and He sees every single thing that's going on. Nothing escapes His notice. Verse 23 through 25 talks about the fact that He's over the rulers of this land. He's over the thug terrorists who want to go around killing people in India. Y'all seen that on the news? God's over all that. God's over everything. He's over sickness. He's over health. He's over jobs. He's over unemployment. God's over it all. Do we see that? Do we believe? Do we trust in that with our very hearts? Verse 26, He says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars." Do you ever do that? Do you ever go outside at night and look up to the heavens and see the wonderful stars that God has placed there?
It's a pretty good thing for me to look out. He finishes this wonderful text, and I think it's a good way to invite you to make some changes in your life this morning if you need to. Maybe you're not quite as plugged into the family as you ought to be. If you're not, you're missing out. Because church, let me tell you this, and I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest blessings God has ever given us is the blessing of family. And you don't got to share the same blood to be in my family. You know what I'm saying? Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This morning, I ask you to consider your own mortality and to what end you're living. If you're not plugged into the family here, I beg you with my heart to get plugged in. Because there's a whole group of people here who want to love you. If you have a need we can help you with, would you come while we sing?